And with that, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And I remembered this right about this time, first service, and so I'll mention it to give you an update. Second service, as I see so many of the cheerful giver coin banks that have come back, the first count that was just the first 20 coin banks, not even all of the ones that have came in, through those first 20 coin banks was $1,584 that have come in so far. And so, church, thank you so much for being such a faithful community. Coin banks can still be coming in, and once again, this is helping us with our sanctuary renovation loan repayments that we make, of hitting our goal of being able to make all of our payments without dipping into savings through the year. And so thank you for making ministry happen through your generosity. And with that, you all inspire me, I have to tell you. There are so many ways that you inspire me, but one of the ways I wanted to share that you inspire me this week is I hear so much from people in this church about how they're caring for themselves. I hear about people who are working out regularly, whether it's the YMCA or Curves or at CrossFit or going to Zumba and line dancing and yoga, and hearing about all these ways, and it makes me feel like, man, I need to be doing better. And I tell you, I'm terrible at gym memberships. I've tried it, and I've even the last gym that I got a membership at, I got the membership, I had it for 6 months, and never even went in except to enroll and then to say, please let me out of this gym membership. I'm just wasting my money. I've tried and I've learned gym memberships don't work for me. But I wanted to do something better. The kids and I were good. About once a week, we'll walk to the library and walk home. And on days we're feeling ambitious, we'll walk to the library, and then we'll walk to 7-Eleven for Slurpees before we walk home, if we have a little extra time. And so we get that, but I want to do something better. But I want it to be something that was really realistic, something that wasn't going to be too much, that I was just going to let it fall to the wayside, something that was easy to remember. And then one day I was looking at this pull-up bar that's in the girls' doorway at the parsonage. And I thought, man, I wonder if I could do 5 pull-ups, okay? I look scrawny, but it's not a lot of weight to have to pull up. Let's see if I could do 5 pull-ups. So I did 5 pull-ups. And I'm like, I could do this, 5 pull-ups. And so I see how many days I can do just 5 pull-ups, okay? You know what? Simple and easy, but it's something I'm doing. And it started with 5 pull-ups, and then I thought, you know what? I know how important the core is. All right, I'm going to do 5 pull-ups, and then I'm going to do 10 leg lifts while I'm up there to work on my core. And so this is what I've been working on, and I'm like 3 or 4 weeks into it. So I'm feeling good. I've made it 3 or 4 weeks into something where more days than not in the week, I do my pull-ups and I do my leg lifts. And the fun has been the kids getting into this now. So the kids want to see, all right, let's see what we can do on the bar. And, well, my kids are kind of scrawny. I don't know where they get it from. But they don't really have the muscle to pull up. But they'll play the game of how long can I hold on? How long can I hold myself up? Or they'll jump and grab the bar and then see how many times they can swing. Kylie finally told me, she goes, Mom, I want to be able to do a pull-up. So I said, all right, Kylie, just pull with all your might and see how far you can go. And then just each day, see how far you can go, and you'll see slowly but surely you're going to get closer until eventually, if you work at it, you'll be able to do a pull-up. All right, Mom, I'm going to work on this. So she jumps on the bar, and you'll see her just the face turning red and pulling and pulling and pulling and until she finally has to let go. But I've been excited that I was inspired by you, and I'm doing something, and it's not a big thing. I'm not trying to bulk up. I'm not trying to turn into the Terminator. It's not about muscles. It's just about doing something that's physically for me to help me even just that little bit, and neat to see that it inspires my kids to be stepping up and doing something as well. And that really right there is what Paul's talking about when he talks about the body of Christ. You see, in the scripture today, he's talking and he says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now you see, I got these muscles, as puny as they are, But the muscles are intended to be used. They're intended to be strengthened. They're intended to keep working so that they don't start atrophying. And you know what the most important muscle in the whole body is? You know, I'm not a medical person, we got lots of nurses here, but as I understand, the most important muscle in the body is the heart muscle. If the heart muscle isn't working properly and it isn't taken care of, it can atrophy, and that's going to be detrimental to our life. And in our faith is a muscle. It's one that's intended to be used. It's one that's intended to be strengthened. It's one intended to be built up. Not intended to be one that we say, all right, I have the faith, now I'm not going to do anything about it. But we're intended to be growing in our faith. And so he says, be rooted in Christ, but be strengthened and built up and live. These are action verbs about our faith. And so one, I challenge you to think, now what is it I'm doing for my faith muscle? How is it that I'm growing in my faith? How is it that I'm active in my faith? How is it that I'm making sure that my faith is not atrophying because I'm not active within it? But what is it that I'm doing? And I know for some people, it's something that's a personal journey for them. This is something I can do on my own. This can be between me and God, and I will absolutely respect that. Because if that's a faith that's working for you, and that's a faith that's growing and active for you and feeding you and is nourishing you in the way that you need it, I absolutely applaud you. But then there's those like me. I need those around me that are helping me. I need that community. I need those that are encouraging me, those that are inspiring me, those that I can think of in my head that have been the inspiration that make me want to be a better Christian, that make me want to be a better pastor. Because of them, I know I do more in my faith. I know I strive every day to try to be better and growing because of how they inspire me. It makes me think about working camp this summer. I love working camp. But one of the things I love about working camp, I love Wednesday morning when the alarm clock goes off at 5:30 in the morning. It's pitch black outside, and what do? But I head up to the dining hall, and this year I met with 9 other adults and 55 third, fourth, and fifth grade campers, okay? 10 adults and 55 campers out there at 5:45 in the morning in the pitch black. We grabbed our water, and we began hiking out of camp with the goal of making it up to what we call the crosses, 3 crosses that sit at the top of the hill that overlooks the camp. It's about a mile up and a mile back, and with 55 little elementary kids, it takes about 2 hours. Now, why did it does, boy, but it's best 2 hours, okay? So what's the challenge? It starts out nice and easy. It starts out with a nice, wide, cleared path. But then we round a bend, and we go up along a ridge. And I have a picture of all these kids like ants along this ridge. And one way you look, and you see towards Blue Jay. Another way you look, and you see down into the canyon that's the camp. But after that ridge, you start on these switchbacks where the path gets really narrow, and the path gets steep, and the path gets rocky, because the path isn't nearly as cared for. You even get to some places where much of the path has been washed out. Now, how do we get up to those crosses? Well, number one, we put the most experienced person at the very front of the line, the person that knows the path the best, because they're the person that finds the proper footing. They find where the rock is going to hold instead of slip under you. They're the ones that on the switchbacks find the right path to go. They're the ones that when we find these washed out areas are able to get past it and then help the next person. But guess what? This washed out area, one in particular I'm thinking of, I absolutely love. Why? Because that first person helps the second person. But the second person can't pass the first person because the path is too narrow. So what happens? The second person helps the third person. And the third person helps the fourth person. And so on and so forth until number 54 helps number 55. We can't get past that spot unless everyone is helping everyone. Now, it never seems to fail along the way. There's lots of slipping and falling because it's a very slippery, rocky path. and you get people that get upset because they've fallen. And when they fall, you get the people around them that help them up and say, you know what, I fell too. You can see it. I'm dirty. This is part of being community. We all get dirty together, right? But there's always somebody that says, I can't make it. I can't go any further. Can I just sit right here and you catch me on the way back? And we have to say, no, we can't leave anybody by themselves. We can't leave anybody behind, but we can help you get to the top, and we know you can do it. We get to the top, and eventually when all 65 of us were at the top, and it's about 7 o'clock in the morning, that's the time that everybody else in camp is waking up. What do we do? But all together we shout down, good morning, camp! And sometimes they hear us and shout back. Sometimes they're too asleep still. But we get to the top and we joyfully shout because we have made it. This is the community of Christ. We are all on this journey together. We are all working to get to those mountaintop experiences. We are all going through struggling times. We all have times we slip and fall. We all have times where we think we just need to sit down and let everybody else go. We all have those times where it seems what before us is something we can't pass. We all have those times where the path seems easy, no problem. I can do this on my own. We all have those times when we get to those places in life and we just have to joyfully shout, good morning, world. But how do we do it? We do it when we work together. We do it when we have those that are going before us and show us where the safe footing is. Those that show us you can get through cancer. Those that show us you can get through the loss of a job. Those that show us you can get through the loss of a loved one. Those who show us you can get through those tough places because we're going to be there with you and God's going to be right in your midst, because that's how I got through, was with God's help and those who God put in my life. When we're up that mountain and helping each other is when we're the most successful. And you see, like I said, at that toughest of spots, it wasn't one person that helped everybody. It was each person just being one step ahead, helping. I think about in my life, who's just one step ahead of me? Who's somebody that is at a place in their faith that's attainable for me that I can get to and see them as a leader? But then to be able to look back and say, who is it that I can be helping? Who can I be mentoring? Who can I be showing where they can be going and encouraging them along in their journey? Because you see, when each of us is helping, when each of us has somebody leading us and somebody we're leading, it's when we all successfully get there together. And this is part of what Paul was doing. In these letters, we hear it over and over again, as his two goals were, one, to bring people to the gospel, for people to hear the message of Jesus Christ and to be able to accept it, to become disciples, to become followers, to see this new way of living in relationship with God. But then his other goal was to see how it is that he could bring them into community together, to see that they could be stronger together, to see that even though persecutions were coming, even though tough times were coming, even though the government was an oppressive one, that they could band together as the faithful and help one another. And so we hear him in the scriptures talking about encouraging one another on, to not create stumbling blocks for one another, but pointing out where they are to help each other around them. Paul knew how important the body of Christ was. And so here over and over again, build one another up. Be rooted in Christ and growing up together in your faith. You see, this weekend, we had Thanksgiving, and we get to give thanks for all of the blessings that God gave us. And if you look to the right of you and you look to your left, you'll see people to be thankful for, people who are on this journey with you, people who know what you've gone through in one way or another, people willing to help you, people to encourage you. The body of Christ is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. I know how thankful I am for it. I know that I would not be who I am today and could not be what I'm doing today if it weren't for the people who have walked beside me in this journey, those who have been my leaders. To think about the first time I went to those crosses as that fourth grade kid and who it was that was helping me, and to know that now I get to help others because of what they did for me. And to give God praise and thanks for that is a way to live with a life, with an attitude of gratitude. To have each person that you see and to say, God, I give you thanks for them. God, thank you for blessing my life with them. And when we find that attitude of gratitude, when we find that we're thankful for the people around us, we find a more joyful way of living. We find a way that is surrounded by God's strength, because we're searching for it and recognizing it. And that's a beautiful way to be living. My friends, we are the body of Christ. Let us give thanks to God for such a blessed gift. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for the life that you have blessed us with. That you have blessed us with family and friends. That you have blessed us with a church. That you have blessed us with mentors and leaders and guides in our lives. But that you have also blessed us to be mentors and leaders and guides. Help us each day to be able to see those around us that we are blessed with. Help us to see those opportunities where we can be helping and leading others around us. But most importantly, help us each day to be growing in our relationship with you, to be growing in our faith, to be stronger, to have more perseverance, to have more love and grace because of what we allow you to have in our lives. For Lord, all of this is a blessing, and we give thanks for this in your mighty and holy name. Amen.